Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're continuing in the chapter, Bill's Story. We're on page 13. Today we're going to be unpacking paragraph 2, and that begins with, "There I humbly offered myself to God," and ends with, "I have not had a drink since." I'm going to unpack that single paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Dana P., the 12 traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today, and then support would be Leslie M., Kara L., France N. for newcomers and sponsors, and Robin P. will finish us out with announcements today. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 15629, 15,629, and that would be for October 26, 2020, the 10 a.m. meeting for Monday. And then today, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting that just happened a bit ago, that would be for Tuesday, October 27th, is 15640, 15,640. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behavior and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dana P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service, and thank you to all my fellows on the line. Dana P., compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to food compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Dana P. Laura R., I would like to ask you please to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Great. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers will be muted. And I would like to have you note this would be the star 1 key function on your keypad as your mode of muting, and that all folks are muted and there's no one to be left in queue waiting to be able to share. So just be aware of that when you come on the line. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, still on page 13. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today, and it begins with, "There I humbly offered myself to God," and ends with, I have not had a drink since." And I'd like to open this up to have Leslie M. read that paragraph and share her experience, strength, and hope on those directions there, and then we'll open it up to the general fellowship here to share in addition. Hi, Leslie. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. "There, I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since." This paragraph is so full. I mean, every word in it is amazing. And for me, it epitomizes basically his experience with step 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7. There's so many pieces to it. You know, he humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him. And in the beginning steps for me, I didn't understand God at all. I didn't have any idea what my higher power was. And this time around, I went through the process, and that's what I did, is I trusted the process. And the decision that I came to, that I made in step 3, was a decision to continue the work of the rest of the steps and do them to the best of my ability. No slouching, just follow the directions and do exactly as I was told, which is what I did. And at that point, I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I didn't have a real connection or even a concept of a higher power until I got into the later steps. But as I said, I believed in the process. You know, when I started listening to this meeting, I could hear that people, when they said they were recovered, there was something different about their voices. And I knew that that was what I wanted also. You know, so I the last time I just threw myself into this and said, whatever I'm directed to do, those are the actions that I'm going to take. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing, that without him, I was lost. You know, I was the big controller. I thought I was in charge of everything in the world, and I knew best for everyone. When meanwhile, my life was a wreck. But, you know, and so every day I have to start my day this way by saying, you know, of myself, I'm nothing. You know, without you, I am lost. Because that's exactly where I was. I was lost in the food. And I have been in OA for 30 years this year. So I have 27 years of being in OA and never getting out of the food, having some short periods of abstinence, but it was all white knuckled. And so I'm very, very grateful today to have that food neutrality and to have the mental obsession removed through working these steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to open up the lines for additional comments on that paragraph, which is paragraph 2 on page 13 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'd like to take your number down. And although we do value everyone's experience here, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, strength, and hope, too, on these directions. So if you share it on Monday, Friday, or Monday, consider tomorrow being your first day back for sharing again, please. So I'm ready to take your name, and you might consider your state as well to be helpful for others to get a hold of you.
Paul L. from Florida.
Roz from California.
And Roz and Bruce.
Veronica B.
Veronica. I have a good line up here so far. I have Paul L., Roz G., Bruce E., and Veronica B. So Paul L. from Florida, would you like to start with your 3 minutes now?
Sure, I would. Thank you so much. My name is Paul, a compulsive overeater, and I've been absent for almost 4 months. And that I love that paragraph. I love that kind of breaking down the crib notes, the general version of the steps of what he did, and turning his life over to God. And I was told that I was struggling as I went through the steps, still binging, still eating, but my sponsor told me, hang on, keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Just like, it's not as black and white, I think, as it was, as it is in my other program. And as a result, when I started helping other people and giving back is when the abstinence, it started with 1 day, and before you know it, it was 2 days, and now it's almost 4 months. It feels like 10 years, honestly. And I'm still working on it. I still got little addictions to pop up with, you know, certain things I drink or, you know, whatever. But I am so much more comfortable, and I don't, like the 10-step promises say, it just leaves us, and it's such a miracle. And I'm so glad that this book is here and that this meeting is here. I listen while I work. I'm a car detailer, so I listen while I work, and I try to share every once in a while just to be a part of, and I'd love to get my name on the website for sponsorship. But I'm really grateful to be here, and that book does not lie. If you do what it says to do, you get the result. And I'm experiencing the promises. I'm still doing some 9-step amends, but I've already experienced some of the promises. I've got a long way to go, but I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that was Paul L. from Florida. Roz G., you're up next from California, and then Bruce will follow you, Roz.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, outside walking my dogs. So tried to keep it as quiet as possible. But as I was listening to the reading this morning and the early morning meeting, I kind of wanted to bring this paragraph up to date in my life. With this paragraph and with the big book, you know, kind of one theme throughout the big book is humility. Humility. At a right size of myself, a right looking at myself in the mirror. And in this world, there's so many opportunities for me to brag, for me to put on a false self, to try to impress. And Bill talks about that in the beginning of his story. You know, I had arrived. I felt like Napoleon from Elba or whatever it was from. And, you know, I wore the coat of tans, and I did too. I wanted to drive this sort of car. And when I got it, I put it all over social media. And I want to weigh this weight, and I put that on social media. Everything that I do, I want to impress people. Well, no, I don't want to do that today. So humility is a big theme here. So I gained some weight in this pandemic. And thanks to my sponsor who talked to me, you know, she said, how's your weight? You know, what was it? Because I weigh on the first, and I haven't been telling her. I've been neatly evading telling her my weight. And she asked me, so I try not to lie anymore. And I told her, well, I haven't weighed myself. Well, why not? And I said, because it ruins my day. And she said, well, it tells you the truth. So the next day I weighed myself. I texted her my weight, and then she and I saw that I gained some weight. And she said, well, how's your food? And I looked at my food, and I've been adhering to my food plan. You know, even though I've been in OA almost 20 years, I only have a year of like clean abstinence. And a little over a year anyway. But you know what the truth is? The truth is that I don't have a lot of the same activity level that I had before the pandemic. I work from home and I sit for 10 hours a day almost. So I had to look at my food plan and decrease the amounts of some things and up my activity. That's humility. That's reality. Reality is humility. It's not fantasy. And it's not bragging. It's being honest. I don't want to be a braggart anymore. I'm tired of that life. I just want to be another bozo on the bus, a human being that has to deal with reality. Okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Bruce E. from Florida. And then Veronica. And then we're going to open up lines for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 11. No, Melanie. Paragraph 2, page 13. In the big book. So in 6 minutes, you might want to prepare to get ready for star one. Hey, Bruce, it's your turn. 3 minutes.
Hello. Don't mess me up, sir. Get me all messed up on this thing here. Yeah. So, knock me off my feet. Bruce, and I'm a recovered food addict in Southwest Florida. So, I got 30 years in this fellowship, and I used to brag about that. You know, I had 10 years, you got 20. Yeah, I've been in 25. Oh, yeah, 25. Yeah, but I was a chronic slipper all that time. So I don't brag too much about it anymore. I don't brag about, try not to brag about it anymore. Because I don't have a real good track record, you know. Maybe it's because of what Bill talks about here right at the beginning of this paragraph. There I humbly offered myself to God. You know, maybe that was my problem, that I just thought life was all about me, right? It's all about me. It's not all about me. It's all about helping other people and serving God and doing that sort of thing. It's not about how good I look or any of that kind of stuff anymore. So, used to be. So, I don't know if he got on his knees or what he did, but I try to get on my knees every morning, every evening, and humble myself, offer myself to God. I think that way I can pray effectively, and maybe he can use me somehow. Some poor food drunk might stumble my way, maybe. So, yeah, I can maybe help some people. myself, and then as I understood him, to do with me as he would, meaning, yeah, okay, God can do anything you want with me, okay? That means if things don't go quite the way I'd like them to go, I can't come back and blame you or be mad at you. He admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. So I am absolutely, I have been lost most of my life. You know, I really have. And I'm lost now. I can be lost today if I don't keep trying to reconnect and keep this connection going with the God of my understanding. He faced his sins, meaning he probably made a list, or at least thought about them, you know, ego, pride, arrogance, resentment, and so forth, you know, which I've done, you know, made a list of them. And step six, became willing, I guess that's step six or seven, and have his newfound friend take him away. That's his higher power. Root and branch. Now, I like that because you remove the branch, you still got the root there, right? The root's still going to maybe grow back. Yeah, my wife always told me when I was out picking weeds, she says, you know, you got to pull out the roots. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Veronica B., you're up for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open it up for the rest of the folks to get a chance to chime in on paragraph 2, page 13. But for now, we'll listen to Veronica B. Star 1, please.
Oh, hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I just really love the reading today. For me, I have been relieved from the compulsion to overeat since July of 2009. And for me, this reading tells me that Bill could not stop drinking on his own. You know, that he realized that he needed his higher power. He needed God to help him. And that with his help, he would be able to get sober and stay sober. And that's what this paragraph means to me, that I am a compulsive overeater. I am powerless over my thinking. I'm powerless over the food, and I cannot do it alone. And that if I want to live a happy, joyous, and free life, I must find a higher power of my understanding, and that I must be in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous. I need both, okay? And you know, being abstinent a long time, being in program for a long time, sometimes I get complacent. And there's a saying that nothing is wonderful once you get used to it. Nothing is wonderful once you get used to it. So I had to find new ways to fall in love with Overeaters Anonymous again. And I did so in March when, you know, COVID hit. I said to myself, I'm going to work the steps again because I became depressed. And I worked the steps out of the big book, and I just kept trusting the process. I pretended and acted like I had one day because I wanted to have a new experience. I wanted to deepen my connection with my higher power. And I can't tell you what a beautiful blessing that was, that I just said yes to everything, regardless of what, you know, my old way of doing things. I kept saying yes, so that I could just deepen my connection with God. And it's been such a beautiful, beautiful transformation of just my connection with God just keeps growing and getting stronger. So we must find new ways to just fall in love with Overeaters Anonymous, you know, because I am human. I do have days where, like, everything is like, what an order can go through with it, you know. But I know what the solution is, and that is my higher power, relying and trusting him every day. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Veronica B. from California. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 13 of the big book. If you had shared Friday or Monday, consider making tomorrow your
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. Sandy K.
Reva Janice G. PM. Reva G. Janice PM.
Gaylene
B. Somebody B. Is that Gaylene B?
Gaylene. No.
And I heard did I hear a Chris or no?
Yes.
Chris
D.
D like David?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good deal.
Do you have Sandy K?
I don't just yet, but I do now. Hi, Sandy.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Did it get you all this morning?
Mary G?
This is what... Oh, Mary G. Okay, great. This is what I have then for this lineup. Reva G, Janice PM, Gaylene B, Chris D, Sandy K, and Mary G. The first step in this line will be Reva G, and then Janice PM will you follow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're on for three, Reva.
Okay, this is Reva G in Brooklyn. Just a while ago, I was on the verge of tears. I'm 86 years old, and I have very vivid memories of the Second World War and the fear that maybe we wouldn't win the war and maybe my family and I would be heading off to an oven somewhere. And the current state of affairs in this country has me on edge because I see people with guns in the street and threats to a governor, and I just feel like everything is going to collapse around me. And I realize that there is a brotherhood of men, and that's what it says in this particular paragraph. There is a brotherhood of men. We live through each other, and vicariously we live through each other in this program. We would never recover. And you are my faith, the faith that can happen here. And I just wanted to let you know that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And that's Reva G from Brooklyn, New York. Next up is Janice PM from Boston, Mass, or Medford, Mass, rather, for your 3 minutes, then Gaylene B will follow.
Thank you so much, Miss Melanie. My name is Janice PM, and I am from Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Getting up there. Well, this is quite, you know, this is a reflection now of what Bill is telling his story, and this is what he did. And, you know, it's such a teachable moment that there I humbly offered myself to God. Well, that's a big thing because I had so much pride and he had so much pride and he had so much grandiosity. And, of course, I did too. And that I could do this thing, that I'm going to find a way, no matter what. I'm going to find a way to keep eating certain foods and still be abstinent and blah, blah, blah. But I had to offer myself to my God and say, you know what, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm powerless, you know. And so then, and you don't have to use anybody else's God, but just have your own God. And then, of course, then remember, he's in the hospital. He unreservedly imagined 100%, which I don't think we do anything 100% except knowing that I'm powerless, that it's not going to be someday, Janice. It's not going to be when your son goes to in the service. It's not going to be when your husband dies. You're not going to be able to do it ever. You are a compulsive overeater. This is what he's thinking, because I know that I was always thinking it was going to be when, after this, after I sell the house, which I didn't even do, you know. And blindly, see, he's going through the steps. He's going through these steps. And the first step is acceptance. Doesn't say here, but this is what he did. He accepted the fact that, and was convinced to the fact that he could not do this himself, that there had to be another power. And then he goes through the steps, his care and direction. he admitted for the first time totally that he just could not do this, that without a God or a higher power, he was lost without him. Notice the capital letters, you know. And then he, faced his sins. He went through step four. He became willing. Step seven, in step six and seven, that he knew he was aware of some of his character defects. And he found a new friend with the capital. That's a God. That's a divine. And what a wonderful thing to have that friend for my companion. And, you know, that's when everything was taken away, not just the branches, not just the fluffy thing like the abstinence, but root, way down to what he really was. And the biggest thing is I have not had a bite of whatever that food was, like he had not had a drink. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Gaylene B., you're up next for three, and then Chris will follow you.
Thank you. Gaylene B., calling from Idaho. When I first learned of the 12-step program, I couldn't get what the difference was between powerlessness. I was just sure there were some way that I could make this happen. And I feel like this paragraph really is key. My sponsor said to me, "You're powerless, but you must continually take the next right action." And that's what he's done here. He humbly offered. He placed himself unreservedly. He admitted. He ruthlessly faced his sins. And as a result, he's not had a drink since. I just feel like that's key. It's key. It was key for my understanding and knowing that as I do my part, my higher power will take care of the food, the cravings, the mental obsession. And every time that I'm not doing these things, that's when I'm relapsing. And so I'm grateful to be abstinent today, grateful for these 12 steps, and grateful for this book. I'm grateful for all of you. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Gaylene B. from Idaho. Chris D., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Sandy K. will follow you. If you're still with us, a quick star one, Christy. That will be opening up your mic to be heard.
Hi, I'm Christy from DeRidder, Louisiana. This paragraph means a lot to me. There I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him. Last year, I fell and broke both my ankles, and that was the most humbling experience I think I've ever had. God had to put me in that situation to humble me. And then there's other things that have happened since then. We've had two hurricanes. And I've been in and out of OA since the 90s, but it's only been in the last couple weeks that I've become willing to follow a food plan and admitted that I'm powerless. I would always pick up the food. I would always think that I could do it my way. And I can't. I can't. So I lost my sponsor Sunday. She said that she could no longer sponsor me, so I do need a sponsor. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christy from Louisiana. Sandy K., you're up next, and then Mary G. will follow you.
Hi, this is Sandy K. I am from South Florida. and I'm recovered compulsive overeater, looking at sunshine for the first week. I had been in program for over 35 years, and after close to 30 years, I lost my abstinence. I couldn't get it back, and then I found Vision, and I've now been abstinent and the most clarity of my entire experience in OA for the last over 3 years. And what I realize is, I mean, I started to lose weight. And then I said, this could not be me. It has to be something else. And I chose a higher power of my understanding. But where it says, I admitted for the first time I was nothing without him, I was lost. I didn't think that right away. I wasn't hit with a bolt of lightning. I was more the spiritual experience of the educational kind. And as time goes on, I have more clarity, and the experiences and the miracles that have shown up in my life that I'm aware of led me to believe that without him, I'm nothing. I mean, it's not like I'm going to shrivel up and die, but it means that I am definitely not going to be the person I am today, which is closer to what my higher power had envisioned for me. So for me, the awakening was slow, even though the start of my weight loss might have been fast. And I'm so grateful for Vision, because I do have a newfound friend. And my friend can take away my difficulties root and branch. I just ask my higher power to dig it out. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay from South Florida. Mary G., you're up next for 3 minutes. And then I wanted to let you know that it looks like there's going to be time for at least one or two more to speak after Mary G., so get ready in three. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G. in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. So, you know, what really touched me was this whole, where is it at? I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. And after I heard that line this morning, it's funny. I feel like whatever we read, just, I don't know, it, you know, is it odd, is it God? It's exactly what I needed to hear that morning. And, when I heard that, I just had like this sense of like relief. Like, I don't have to do this on my own. Like, I don't have to run the show. I don't have to fix, manage, and control every situation in my life. There's some stuff going on where I may have stepped on some toes, and I was kind of racking my brain this morning trying to figure out, how do I fix this? What do I do? How do I make it right? And I hear that line and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is what program is for. This is what, you know, like, I have directions on what to do in this situation. And I could humbly, you know, go to this person, make an amends, and just step back. Like, I'm not running the show. I don't have to fix every single situation and make it right. But I do need to make the amends and take a step back. So I'm just grateful. I was on the line this morning and God showed me what I exactly, you know, needed to hear and see. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Mary G., I didn't catch where you were from for some reason, but maybe we'll catch that next time. The lines are open, looks like, for at least two more shares. If you're interested in sharing, you haven't shared in the last couple of days, I'd love to hear from you. Press star. Hi, Courtney.
Tony C.
Tony C.
George E.
George E. Let's go with those three. We might get to George. If not, but we're going to give it a go. So let's go with Courtney M. and let us know where you're from. And then Tony D. and then George E. You're up for three, Courtney. Press star one.
Hi, this is Courtney.
There you go.
M. Yep, sorry. I pressed star one and muted myself. this is Courtney M., recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. And I'm grateful for your service today, Mel. Thank you, and for everybody on the line. I wasn't originally going to share this morning. I didn't feel particularly moved to share until I listened to a few other shares, and I thought, yeah, I may have something that needs to be added to the mix. And the thing that I'm hearing over and over again that I'm really identifying with is that sense of humility. I've just recently been going through a lot of tension in my family because I have a blended family. And, you know, my old habit, like somebody else was just talking about, is to fix things because in my, you know, when I'm not humble, when I'm kind of in my disease thinking, I should be able to control and fix everything. And, of course, I know best. And when I'm in a place of recovery and I'm humble, then not only do I not know best, I really don't know much at all. Really. And this last week, when this came up to me, because I've been learning to cultivate this relationship with my higher power and lean on my higher power in a way that I really never did before, you know, I was able to understand that it was available to me to ask for help in this from my higher power and not have to come up with the solution myself. And I was moved to get down on my knees and pray about this particular situation. And I was so wrapped in the arms of my higher power in that moment. I could feel that presence. And it allowed me to express my emotions in a way that I never used to before, because when I was in the food could push the emotions down, and I really didn't have to be uncomfortable for very long. And this is a really uncomfortable situation, but in program and in these recovery steps, I've learned that I can be humble and I don't have to have all the answers. They come when I'm quiet and I ask for that help. And in this paragraph, I just keep hearing that humility that Bill had at that moment where he was just willing to give himself up, be useful. And I pray for that every day, to be useful. And thanks to this program, I have an opportunity to be useful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Courtney. Did you mention your state and I missed it? Must have caught her in between. Tony C., you're up for 3 minutes now.
I
was just curious if I missed hearing your state. I might have.
Yeah, I'm in Southwest Florida.
Southwest Florida. Okay. Thanks, Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Tony C., press star one, please. Your 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Tony C. I'm from Southern California. Good morning to everyone on the line. Vision for You is a powerful program. I mean, I love it's dynamic. I remember going to a retreat in L.A., and I went in all of the other meetings, and people were up there sharing about their experience, drinking Coke. Then I went into Vision for You. I'm like, what's going on here? It was an explosion, like activities and groups and papers and pens. I'm like, this is what I'm looking for. So it's been amazing. And I finally got over that 6 month mark. I meant to say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I finally got over that 6 month mark. And that was always the place that I stopped and went back and, you know, found the program wanting, you know. And it's my imperfections that make me need a higher power. Not what I know, not what I do. It's what I need. I need help. I have a disease that I cannot control. And I can't tell you how many times I tried to control this disease. And even when I unreservedly turned my will and my life over to my higher power, there are moments where the food will still call me. And there have been moments when I still succumb to that mental obsession and that physical compulsion. And so I need my high power, and I'm so grateful I don't have to be anything. I don't have to be right, wrong, humble. God, please help me. And I was in that moment the other day where I was just like, you know, I have a lot going on, a lot on my plate, and a friend left some red light foods in my house. And I grabbed that box. And I was about to go in. And in a split second, I said, God, please help me. And I was able to put that food in some water so it could dissolve. See, I'm a real compulsive overeater. I've been in trash cans going back after vowing not to eat that, and I'm done with it forever. And then you find me in the trash, you know, digging it, you know. Thank God I don't have to live like an animal today. Thank God that I have a God, and I don't have to be perfect, not now, with or without the program. Thanks for letting me share.
Yes,
hello?
Georgie, Cincinnati, Ohio, compulsive eater.
Gotcha. Thanks
thank
so much.
Okay.
You're up for three, George. Go ahead.
All right. Can you hear me? Can I be heard?
Uh-huh. Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, okay. Well, S9 over S9, right? So, it's an interesting paragraph. I guess, you know, I read it real quick, but I'm thinking it's more about daily surrender. You know, there's this thing. I mean, I've searched for a lot of different higher powers in my journey, and you know, food was certainly my higher power. There's no doubt about it. And you know, the truth is that I am recovering. I'm not recovered, and I say that because, you know, I'm working the steps. I'm being as honest as I know how to be today, and really, all I have is today. I mean. But the, you know, the Buddhists kind of talk about changing your body position to feel a certain feeling. Like if you're in pain, you know, you move a muscle, change a thought. You know, pain is a thought, right? So, yeah, what I got out of this was, yeah, this was just another day in the hospital. You know, you kind of lose track of time when you're in those situations. I mean, at least I did. And, you know, life for him was about to become something that didn't have to be endured, you know. You know, he was about to find purpose, you know. And so, you know, truly, it's a reawakening, you know. Entering the program, admitting powerlessness, turning it over, taking inventory, admitting my faults, being humbly ready. And then actually doing a seven-step prayer, which I try to do every day. And then comes the really hard stuff, you know, the stuff that pride is blocking and fear is blocking. And at least for me, that was my journey. So thank you for having this meeting, and everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, George E. from Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you for your share. And that does end the sharing part of this particular meeting. As we wrap up the recorded session, stay with us and join us for the last unrecorded 10 minutes of the meeting. What I'd like to ask now is for Kara L. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only as we transition into the last portion of our meeting. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and for making this meeting possible today.
Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.